We are welcoming back Nicole Hockley of Sandy Hook Promise. And Nicole, welcome. Always glad to check in with you and talk about the work that you and your team, what you're doing here and across the country. Let's talk about just the last year since we last spoke. What's been happening?
Well, thanks, Melissa. In the last year, Sandy Hook Promise just continues to expand and scale the work, reaching millions of kids and students across the country. We have our new audited figures in terms of our unique training numbers for last year, which was another 5.7 million new participants engaged in our Know the Signs program since inception. That's around 31 million youth and adults that have taken part, and those have significant tangible results in terms of lives saved from suicide, mental health interventions, acts of violence with a weapon prevented. And of course, we're now up to 16 credible planned school shooting attacks that have happened, that have been prevented, as a direct result of our program. So we just continue to scale the program work and our lobbying work with our model legislation in states and federally, all in service of keeping kids safe and preventing gun violence.
Are you finding, Nicole, that more and more people are reporting it now that it's getting, I would say, more normalized?
I think people are reporting it more, and it certainly shouldn't be normalized. But when you look at, I was looking at Pew Research Center's recent studies, and about 32% of all parents are concerned about a school shooting happening at their child's school. Now, the reality is school shootings are quite rare. It is not common for this to happen in schools. They are actually a safe place. But this really is about the fear that we have as a country about, are our kids safe? And yet we know that things like knowing the signs and recognizing when someone needs help and getting them that help, creating connection, these are the best and evidence-proven ways to prevent violence. So we know that the more that we can scale our programs, the more people know about them. We're going to reduce the number of people that are afraid of them happening, because we're also giving power and control back to students to say when they see something that they're worried about, reach out when someone is isolated or alone, which is a precursor to potential self-harm or violence, and really change that system around how we feel about safety at school. So it's absolutely preventable. We know our model works, and it's a significant fear and something that we need to be addressing as a country.
And Nicole Hockley, I have to admit, this percentage I am afraid is going to go up for the 2024 school year. And the reason I say that is because of what we've just been seeing in Connecticut. So I was reading the report. It said 13% of students did not attend school at least once in the past 30 days because they felt unsafe either at school or on their way to or from school. And here in Connecticut, yeah, I think it is deplorable, the amount of fake school threats that have been made a lot of times on social media just this school year. And when you find out that a lot of them are being done at the hands of Connecticut students, it's disheartening. And I worry because I hear from families that, you know, their kids don't feel maybe comfortable going when you hear about these fake threats or you see these lockdown situations. So organizations like yours that really highlights all the good that has come out of the work that you're doing in the prevention programs definitely is uplifting, because I do feel we're very bogged down, especially here in Connecticut, by constantly, it feels like every week there's a fake school threat.
Yeah, and that needs to be addressed. And generally, that is a relatively new phenomenon. The idea of the hoaxers, the swatters, the fake school shootings, and unfortunately, that potentially masks real school shooting plots. If people become to start to think that, oh, it's just a joke, or it's just a hoax, or it's not serious, then we're going to miss the ones that are genuine. So there needs to be more of a tamping down on that. That is not something that we've ever experienced really with our crisis center out of Miami that deals with reports from students around the country. You know, since we launched, we've had over 278,000 tips from kids across the country. And hoaxes are an incredibly small, like half of 1%. So what we've seen in Connecticut is not normal and not what we're seeing nationally, but it could be a new trend that we need to keep an eye on. But my biggest concern is the amount of credible school shooting threats that we hear about, or acts of violence on school, or bullying or harm. The more that people are thinking things are a hoax and not taking them seriously, then we miss the real ones potentially. So that is definitely something to be concerned about.
I was having a conversation recently with one of our education leaders in the state, and I was asking if she believes this generation of younger students, if they're almost tone deaf to the seriousness of school shooting and school threats. And she said, yes. And she said, if you think about the fact that Sandy Hook is something that, I mean, I was in my 20s when Sandy Hook happened. So it's something that is so fresh for me. And I would say for my generation, but you know, for my son who's 6 years old, he only knows of what I've told him about it. So you have a whole generation that either has heard of it or wasn't even alive for it. Do you feel like we need to be doing more in schools to help kids understand the severity, or does it come down to what's being taught at the home?
I think part of it is about what's being taught at the home, and part of it's also about what's being taught in the school. And I do appreciate this current generation is the lockdown drill generation, you know, the way that active shooter drills have increased since Sandy Hook. And yeah, my son who was killed at Sandy Hook, he should be 18 right now. So they would have graduated high school this past year. However, although Sandy Hook, maybe the new generation might not recognize the name Sandy Hook in the same way that that generation of Sandy Hook didn't necessarily recognize Columbine, there have been ongoing school shootings and mass shootings. So people know Parkland, Uvalde. This is Covenant in Tennessee. This is still a continuing issue. So it is something that needs to be addressed. But I think conversations at school, because kids are the eyes and ears of the school, talking with parents as well, teaching them to recognize the signs and have conversations with their kids about, are you seeing any of this? Are you hearing any of this? Because this is, it's not even so much about the school shootings at the very high end of the spectrum. It's about all the acts of violence and self-harm along that entire pathway to violence. I mean, in recent surveys, about 42% of teens were expressing persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. Nearly half of our teenagers expressing persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. That is a big issue. Or people being bullied or isolated or leading into substance abuse or dating violence or other forms of self-harm and cutting. This is an escalation of events that can eventually, at its extreme, lead to suicide and homicide. And when you still think gun violence is the number one killer of kids right now between the ages of 0 and 19, and suicide is the second cause of death, we have an issue. So it involves conversations at the schools, recognizing what's going on with your friends, what's going on with yourself, saying something if you see something or something that makes you feel uncomfortable and you're concerned about someone else and you want to get them help, and definitely for parents to have those conversations with their kids as well, about their own well-being, but also about how are things going in school and creating those connections. Because when a child isn't feeling seen, valued, or heard, they are potentially open to unhealthy decisions or finding community in a way that they're not finding with their school community.
And Nicole Hockley, I want to thank you and your entire team for what you do. And thank you for always checking in with us here on WICC. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa. Happy holidays.
You too. We'll talk soon. That is Nicole Hockley again, co-founder and co-CEO of Sandy Hook Promise, right here on WICC.